Oh, that was a happy story. How many people here love their job? How many people love their job? Now, when I say how many people love their job, you might be thinking, well, maybe I'm retired. Maybe I don't have a job. Maybe I'm a student. When I say how many people love their job, what I'm really asking you to think about is, how much do you love your life? How much do you love what you do with your life? Sometimes there's a real challenge in that. If we listen to the first reading, it's a little on the old school side, right? Proverbs, speaking about the work that a housewife does. Now, a housewife has a great deal of responsibility and a great deal of work. But a lot of people in this day and age might say, a housewife doesn't work. A housewife doesn't have a job. That's not only untrue, it's a little offensive. But if we think about what it is we do with our lives, and whether or not we're happy doing it, that is essentially what these readings are about today. And that's one of the things that I want to talk to you about. Because if we aren't in love with what we do, life can really seem like drudgery. Life can also be a place where we don't feel like we're getting anything in return. Life can be like that third servant who is so fearful that he just goes out and he buries what he has in the ground, afraid to do anything with it. That's not what God wants from us. That's not what God wants for us. What God wants us to do is share in his joy. And the way we can share in his joy is by looking at the things that we do day in and day out and contemplate how God is present in the midst of those things. And how do we make God present in the world by doing the things that we do? So these particular readings are especially Salesian. St. Francis de Sales was all about doing what we do well, doing the best that we can, not necessarily doing it perfectly, but putting in our best effort and recognizing the talents that we've been given. The worst thing in the world that we can do is to not pay attention to or not affirm those things that we're good at. Because what tends to happen is, if we don't pay attention to those things that we're good at, we may wind up doing something for a living that we hate. Now, I remember when I first graduated college, I was planning on being a teacher, but when I got out of college, I was thinking about it, and I was like talking to some teachers, and I'm like, you know what? I don't think I'm cut out to be a teacher. I just don't think that I can put that much effort into trying to teach people who, you know, maybe aren't going to respond to me as much as I want them to. And so right out of college, I was kind of desperate for a job, and my friend's father owned a machine shop, and he hired me to work in his machine shop. So the first job that I had out of college, I was making these tiny little washers, 100,000 tiny little brass washers. And I'm standing at this lathe, and I was literally bored to tears. At one point, my friend came over to me and he said, "Are you okay?" And I was like, yeah, I'm fine. He said, "You look like you're going to burst into tears." And it was in that moment that I began to wonder about what it is I want to do with my life that is going to not just make me happy, not just make me money, but is really going to reflect God. How am I going to reflect God in my life by doing the things that I do? And then I went through an entire progression, just like a child. jumping from one job to another until I found that thing that I really wanted, that thing that I really felt good at, that thing that fulfilled me. The reason I tell you that story is because I want each of us to sort of think about how much of our life can appear to be drudgery. Because even in the midst of doing what I do for a living now, and how much I love it, there are days, and those days seem like drudgery, but I can't overlook the reality that God is present even in the midst of those horrible days. And that's why we come here, because life can sometimes be drudgery, even when we're doing things that we love. We come here because this is a place where we're fed. Today, Joseph, are you Joseph? How you doing, Joseph? We share a name. Joseph is going to receive communion for the second time. The receipt of communion is meant to strengthen us, to empower us, to remind us about the first time we received Christ in the Eucharist. To remind us about the next time we can receive Christ in the Eucharist. Because life is not meant to be drudgery. That's not what God wants from us. Finally, this evening, Father Bob asked me to speak at Masses this weekend. He also invited Deacon Chris Roberts to come back and speak at the Masses about the St. Charles Seminary appeal. And the reason Father Bob asked me and Deacon Roberts to come and do that is because Deacon Roberts and I are products of St. Charles Seminary. Father Bob and the Oblates of St. Francis de Sales receive their seminary training elsewhere. So they'll hit you up for that later. I want to not hit you up for anything, but I want to just kind of invite you to think about what it is that the priesthood provides for each one of us. What it is that this place and this experience and this Eucharist provide for each one of us. That Eucharist is so essential to our lives. And so I just want to invite you to not only pray for vocations, but to consider vocations. For any young man who is out there, if you're thinking about a vocation to the priesthood or to the diaconate or to religious life, pray about that. Seek out advice. Talk to other people. Talk to me. Talk to Father Bob. Talk to Father Mark or the other Father Bob or Deacon Roberts. Talk about it. Explore it. For you young women out there who are considering a vocation to religious life, we have the Sisters of St. Joseph here. We have the sisters who are the adorers of the precious blood here. Talk to them about it. Ask them about what it is they do. Ask them to express the joy that they have in the work that they do. Most importantly, pray about it. And in praying about it, ask yourself about what talents God has given to you. Ask yourself what talents God gives to you that you can share in the world that will give others a glimpse of this wonderful, loving God that we have. Now, you don't have to go to seminary. You don't have to go in the convent to do that. St. Francis de Sales made it clear to all of us that each of us is called to reflect the image and likeness of God in the work that we do by doing it well, by being who we are and being that well. But I want to invite you to consider, if you're generous enough in the moment, to just give to the St. Charles Seminary appeal. Give to the Sisters of St. Joseph. Give to the sisters who are adorers of the precious blood, the brothers from LaSalle. Give to those who give to us. This experience of Christ, this experience of Eucharist, this experience of church is all of our experience. But there are some specialists that Eucharist requires. And they're the ones who are courageous enough to say yes to the priesthood. And so most importantly, I ask you to pray for the priests. Pray for the oblate priests. Pray for the priests of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. It's not easy being a priest. It's especially not easy in this day and age being a priest. It's countercultural. There are some mistakes that the church has made that has made the priesthood look bad. And we regret that. But I want you to think hard and fast about how it is you don't look bad and you don't make God look bad in the things that you do. Because we are a Eucharistic people. And that's why we come here today. Thank you.